Today's Bible reading is from the book of Joshua, and I'll be reading from on chapter 3 from verse 1 to 11. That's Joshua chapter 3 from verse 1 to 11. And I'll be reading the NIV version. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out to Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. 9. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. This ends the Bible reading.
Amen. Church, good morning. It is good to be here with you in the Lord's house on the Lord's day for the Lord's people. We thank God for his grace and for his mercy, which he has extended towards us, and that he would spare our lives one more day, that we would come to worship him in spirit and in truth. Today is a special day in many ways. It's good to see Beatrice and her family here with us many years ago. Sister Laverne and I had the pleasure of visiting with them in Germany. And it's so good to see you and the family as well. And we also got a chance to be with her husband, Brother Gordon, and we send God's blessings, richest blessings to him. And trust that your time here in Leicester will be profitable. Welcome to each of you, those who are visiting. We have visitors here from Northampton Church of Christ and others as well. We want you to know that you are among friends and invite and encourage you to come back and visit with us as often as you can, that a warm Christian welcome awaits you here. We are members of the Lord's Church here in Leicester, and someone has said there are no strangers in the Church of Christ, just friends you have not met before. We want you to be like the Bereans were in the book of Acts, where the Bible says that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to consider whether these things were so. We want you to get book, chapter, and verse for everything that is said from this pulpit, or any pulpit, for it is the word of God that will judge us in the last day, and as the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4, that God be true and every man a liar. We thank Brother Darren for the solemn evening today as he led us in worship, me for his enthusiasm as he has encouraged us as we sing songs of praises to the great God of heaven, knowing indeed that he is God that blesses not only on Sunday morning. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I encourage you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3, and thank you, Brother Carey, for the Bible reading. Joshua chapter 3. And I'll be reading from verse number 1 to lay the foundation for our message today. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, which is a bit different. And I appreciate the different translations as well. The Bible says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, Then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua in verse number 7, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites, and the Hivites and Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men of the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand up as a heap. Verse 14 says, so it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests, bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which come down from upstream stood still and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Joshua chapter 3. The message is entitled Joshua, the journey of a faith walker crossing Jordan. The context of this chapter is Moses, who was called by God to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage in Exodus chapter 14, had died. He and many others, a generation of people who had left Egypt in crossing the Red Sea, promised to enter the promised land, failed to do so because of disobedience, and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, a whole generation had to die. And so Joshua is now leading this second generation across the Jordan River. And so I want you to know that God loves it when we have an all-out-daring faith in him. Nowhere was this more evident than when Joshua was preparing to lead the Hebrews into the promised land. But one big obstacle was in the way, the Jordan River. The boundary to the promised land represented the great defining boundary that separated the Hebrews' past from their future, from God's promise to its fulfillment. The Jordan presented a challenge as well as a promise. Therefore, crossing required a new faith experience for them to occupy the land that God had waiting for them. And so today's message encourages us to wait on God, consecrate ourselves to him, and to step out in faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, so then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Many, many years ago, the following letter was found in a baking powder can or tin wired to the handle of an old pump that offered the only hope of drinking water on a very long and seldom used trail across the Amargosa Desert. The letter read this: this pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a sucker washer in it, and it ought to last 5 years.
But the washer dries out and the pump has got to be primed. Under the white rock, I bear a bottle of water out of the sun and cork and up. He says, there's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink it first. Pour about a fourth and let her soak to wet the leather. Then pour the rest medium fast and pump like crazy and you'll get water. The well has never run dry. When you get watered up, fill the bottle and put it back like you found it for the next fellow. And it will sign Desert Pete. And he says, P.S. Don't go drinking up the water first. Prime the pump with it all and you'll get all you can hold. Now, if you were that lonely traveler shuffling down that parched desert trail, when your water bottle was dry, would you trust Desert Pete and this letter? For all you know, this man is a lunatic. Or what if it's a mad hoax? There are no guarantees that what he claims is true. And what would motivate you to prime the pump with the water in this bottle that you found? Perhaps the only water that's available. But you understand the fact that the old wells had to be primed. It's a gamble, it's a risk, it's an adventure, but the question is, what would you do in that situation? The lonely traveler had to prime the pump before all the water flew. This principle manifests itself in everyday life. There are battles before victory. There are struggles before celebration. There are steps before arrivals. There is practice before perfection. There is preparation before completion. And there is matriculation before graduation. And over in Scripture, church, this pattern is repeated. The Israelites had to march into the Red Sea before God parted it. Naaman the leper had to wash 7 times before God cured him of his leprosy. Gideon had to reduce his army from 32,000 to 300 men before God would deliver him from the Midianites. The loaves and fishes were given up before Jesus multiplied them and blessed those on that plain. So the question is, what would you have done if you came across Desert Pete's instructions? Why is it so hard to act on things that require faith? Faith believes in what it does not see, and faith also acts even when we don't understand it. I want to suggest, first of all, in our message that often we have to wait before moving ahead with God. Often we have to wait before moving ahead with God. In Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 says, then Joshua rose early in the morning and set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And so, following north to south, the Jordan River is about 25% mud. It stretches about 200 miles from Mount Hermon to the Dead Sea, furiously plummeting from several hundred feet above sea level to approximately 1,300 feet below sea level. Normally, this Jordan River is not difficult to cross, but when Joshua led the children of Israel to the Jordan, it was springtime. The snows had melted on Mount Hermon, and the normally dry waters had overflowed, and so flowed into the Jordan and were raging currents inundating the main river. No longer miles and tame was this Jordan. The Jordan was tempestuous, a raging river at flood stage. Now, by comparison, during the dry season, at its widest point was about 100 feet wide. Now, it was over a mile wide. The Israelites were at an impasse. That's all life is sometimes. That's all life is sometimes. Often, we have to wait before moving with God. The children of Israel did. They had to wait, the Bible says, for 3 days. For 3 days, they had to wait. And after that, they were on the banks of the Jordan River, ready to cross in verse number 2. And so for 40 years, they had deferred because of the unbelief of their elders. You know, sometimes you and I will suffer the consequences of the people that have come before us. Consequences and choices we did not make, but sure enough, we have to bear the consequences. And now they had to wait again with the destination. They could see the cross, but they had to wait, and they were not happy campers. No one likes to wait. Isn't that right? None of us like to wait. Waiting is not a strong suit for one of us, for most of us. We are not patient people. We tend to be horn-honking, microwaving, fast food eating, express lane shopping people. Amen. You know, sometimes we get upset even when we think the microwave is taking too long. You say 2 minutes and you're pacing up and down. Well, how long is it going to take? Well, it will take as long as it takes. Our life is not instant. Waiting, however, is the hardest part of trusting. We live with the adage, don't just stand there, do something. While God often says, don't just do something, stand there. Because God does not act the way we do. God does not think the way we do. Sometimes we have to simply wait on God. And too often we want God's resources, but we don't want His time. Isn't that right? You know, we often say that every prayer gets answered. Everybody wants a yes. Nobody wants a no. Lord, if it's your will, sometimes God says, that's not my will. And He'll tell us no. Sometimes He'll say, not right now. And we don't want to hear that either. We forget that God, the work God is doing in us while we wait is as important as whatever we are waiting for. Why? That's a good question. First of all, I want to suggest that waiting means that we understand that God knows what He's doing without doubt. God knows what He's doing. And we must understand that without doubt. Secondly, waiting reminds us that we are not in charge. Waiting reminds us that we are not in charge. And number 3, waiting humbles us in ways that we need to be humble. Psalm 27 is one of my favorite psalms. You want to read that. You ever going through something and going through changes that you don't know what to pray for and life seems have turned upside down, read Psalm 27. The psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you say, seek my face, my heart says to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. May my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And here's verse number 14. The psalmist says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so, church, wait me around sometimes when we get to those Jordan crossing moments in our lives. When we are not just waiting around, we are waiting for God's direction. And so while we're waiting, remember that though you may hear nothing, God is yet speaking. Though you hear nothing, God is yet speaking. And secondly, though you may see nothing, God is yet working. Secondly, we must consecrate ourselves today before we receive the blessings of tomorrow. We must consecrate ourselves today before we receive the blessings of tomorrow. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify or cleanse yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then and now God calls his people to holiness, purity and separation. For the Israelites on the edge of the Jordan, this meant washing themselves with water and practicing ceremonial rites that would make them clean. They were to cleanse the filth and dirt that had accumulated over the years. They were to approach God with pure hearts, clean hands and feet, and blameless minds. Every single one of us have rubbed up against the world this past week. Every single one of us in our minds and our physical selves have become tainted by the world in some way, shape, or form. And when we come before God, we must cleanse ourselves, sanctify ourselves as we come into his presence. They were about to hook to enter the Holy Land, God's country. People took off their shoes. They fell prostrate in humility. And when God said, sanctify or consecrate yourselves, he was saying, only holy people will occupy a holy land. And so the need for holiness and purity and separation today comes before the blessings of tomorrow. We must consecrate ourselves today. So we ought to believe that God will bless us first, and then we'll get our lives right. You know, you hear folks say, well, listen, I've got some problems, and I'm going to sort those things out, and then I'll come and get my spiritual life together. But listen, how's that working out for you? Huh? Without God, thank God for his grace and his mercy, church. And so God says that holiness precedes honor, cleanliness before usefulness, and penance before power. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 says this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. The Apostle Peter says, therefore, and what is therefore? Therefore, as a result of what I said before, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Here's that word mind again for those of us who are in the adult Bible class. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conform yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as to he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. That means you need to be holy not just on Sunday morning, but on Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every single day. And your conduct is your conversation, how we dress, how we talk, how we interact with the world. Be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And so according to the dictionary, this word consecrate or sanctify means sanctification of something by setting it apart as dedicated to God. Sanctify. In the Old Testament, they had to sanctify or cleanse every vessel. Your cooking pots, every utensil, you had to dedicate them to God. We ought to dedicate ourselves to God. I'm going to give God my 100%, not just on Monday at my work, but on Sunday, because that is the Lord's day. Because listen, in an interesting Sunday comes before Monday, worship comes before work. And so these Israelites, they had to understand, listen, your forefathers, the generation before you, had to wander into the wilderness and lose their self salvation because of a lack of faith, and you have the opportunity to do what they did not do. And so for us today, it also means this consecration or sanctification, a solemn commitment to your life or your time to some cherished purpose. Consecration. Consecration is a decision. Consecrate yourself today before God can bless you tomorrow. Number three, we must step out in faith to see God act. We must step out in faith to see God act. It says in verse number six, and Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and cross before you, before the people. So they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Now the interesting thing about this account in Joshua chapter 3, see, this crossing, Moses led the Israelites through the Red Sea as Pharaoh's army pursued God's people. But this was not the case in Joshua chapter 3. There was no one chasing after. There was no urgency. There was no panic that took place. And God parted the Red Sea, and the Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, that the angels of God went before them. But now God has sent the priest bearing the ark. There was no ark of the covenant when Moses was there. And he says this ark was a symbol for them to look upon. And he says in verse number 9, so Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, but this you shall know, that the living God is among you, and that you will without fail, and he will without fail drive out from among you the Canaanites and the Hittites, and the Hivites and Perizzites, and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. So in verses 16 and 17 of the text, the Bible says, and the priests came and bore the ark, and they went down, it says, and the water, that the waters came down from the upstream and stood still and rose up in heat. God has stopped the waters upstream. There was no parting of the sea, the Jordan River. And so it allowed them to cross over on dry ground. Inevitably, Joshua and we have to step out in faith before God, before we see God act. The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse number 17, so faith without works is dead. You say you have faith, but show me your work. How do we activate our faith? How did they activate the faith? They had to take a step forward. And then God will do what only he can do. God promised that the current of the Jordan would be dammed up, but first the people had to step into the water. God was ready, but the first the people had to step into the water, but the people had to be willing. God was ready, willing, and able to perform an amazing miracle, but the people had to march forward. He said, you've never been this way before. You and I perhaps are in a situation now that you've never been in before. But God delivered in the past. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But sometimes we put more confidence in ourselves. We put more confidence in other people. We put more confidence in the system, the government, but what about God? What about God? What Jordan movement or Jordan crossing situation are you in right now? They had to get their feet wet before God would act. And isn't that just like God? He wants to do amazing things, but before he does, we have to trust him. I remember many years ago, a preacher said, listen, you've heard me say it before, some of you. Don't just pray to God for a loaf of bread. Don't just pray to God, Lord, send me a loaf of bread. We ought to pray for the whole bakery. We ought to be willing to say, listen, the Bible says he will give us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. sometimes we tie God's hands because we pray these prayers. Well, Lord, if. No, God can and God will. That is why he called himself the great I am. I am. I am. Whatever you need, I am. And so we must pray that way. We must act that way. We must step out in faith that way. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, so that we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight says it's too small. Sight says it's not going to work. Sight says we don't have the money. Sight says we don't have the resources. Sight says it doesn't make sense. But faith says if God can do it, and I trust him that he'll do above and beyond what he even promised me today, then he can and will do it. I believe that we may be small in number, but we serve a good God, a great God, a big God, and he can do big things. So, church, we are required to demonstrate our faith. For faith to be faith, we must venture out beyond our abilities, our understanding, and even our resources. Often it appears that God provides no answers to our problems until we trust him and move ahead. While he wants to intervene in the difficult and challenging things in our everyday lives, we must first demonstrate faith by walking on the path of obedience. Obedience. Listen to Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 9. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 9. So Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and hear or listen to the words of the Lord your God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You gotta consider the source sometimes of the information that we get. Sometimes we go to the wrong source for information. God is faithful to his promises. Now, I'm going to let you down. You're going to let me down, but God will never let us down. Whenever you've got a problem, this is for free. Whenever you've got a situation, God will send you information. Did you know that? Some sermon. It could be a devotional. It could be you hear something on the radio. God will send you information, which is an invitation for transformation. And so, waiting, consecrating, and faith plays out in our lives in many ways. When we risk giving generously, we discover that we really can't trust God to take care of us. When we risk asking forgiveness of another person, we discover that God really will honor our confession. When we risk using our spiritual gifts, we will know the joy of being used by God. When we risk making a phone call to encourage or show concern, we know the satisfaction of touching another human being at the point of their need. When the people march forward, the rivers stop flowing. When Naaman dipped, the leprosy departed. When Gideon subtracted from the size of his army, God multiplied the effect and the battle was won. When the lunch was shared, thousands were fed by Jesus. And so the Hebrew children had to wait, and they had to get their feet wet, walking by faith and not by sight, before God showed up, and so do we. For what do we need to be patient and wait on in our faith for God today? What is it? What are we asking God for? As an individual, as a family, as a congregation, as a nation, what are we asking God for? Lord, we want to save the souls of the households in this neighborhood. Is that our prayer? Lord, I want to bring my co-workers, my neighbors, my cousins, the folk that I don't like, the folk that don't like me. Amen. Isn't that what God wants? We got to step out in faith. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Isaiah chapter 40. I'll give you a chance to turn there. Isaiah chapter 40. You've heard this before. Isaiah 40. I'll give you a chance to turn there. And meet me at verse number 27. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse number 27. So good to hear the page is turning. Amen. I know it's hot. Some of us are tired. Amen. Isaiah has this conversation. He says, why do you say, O Jacob, And speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, has his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Read, church, Joshua was, I believe Joshua was there during the Exodus. And he had to be, by Joshua chapter 3, Joshua had to be at least 80 years old. Did you know that? He had to be at least 80 years old, leading God's people, a commander of God's army, and a leader of the nation. And he says, before you take on this journey, you've got to wait, you've got to consecrate yourself, and you've got to step out in faith. That is the same assignment for us today, church. 2025 should not end as 2024. We have so much to do. We have so much to accomplish. God has so much for us. And he's waiting on you to do something with what you've heard. We must exercise our faith. Faith itself. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Church, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by doing five simple things. You've heard God's word. You must first of all hear his word. Faith comes by hearing here by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you from your sins, that's John 3, 16. You must repent. You must repent of your sins. Repentance takes place from the neck up. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 to 10, with the heart one believes in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You've got to also, that's confession, repentance, Luke 13, 25, I tell you, that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then you must be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's Acts 2, 42 to 46, Romans 16, 15 and 6, Matthew 16, 15 and 16, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, talks about baptism. And then God calls us to remain faithful unto death, Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. For those of us who are here in our Christian church, I believe that all of us have struggles. All of us have trouble. All of us have some trial that we're perhaps going through. God is waiting on us. Do you need prayer? I know I need prayer. Anytime you think about Brother Smith, pray for him, and I'll pray for you too. Or you just want to give God thanks for his goodness, his grace and his mercy. God did not promise that you would get home from wherever you were yesterday, but he did it for you. He did not promise that he would wake you up this morning, but he did it for you. And perhaps he didn't promise you would get home safely this evening, today as well. Don't put off today. Do not put off today what you can do today, because tomorrow is not promise to us. The Bible says, for what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little while, then it vanishes away. Do not leave here without Jesus, because he is the only solution to your problems. Just like Joshua had to trust God and the people of Israel had to trust God and step on their faith, you too, and you and I must do just likewise. If you're here this morning as a subject to the Lord's invitation in either of these two ways, we invite and encourage you to come as we stand and sing the song of the